Our scripture reading today comes from Mark 2, 1 through 12. Listen to the words of God. A few days later, Jesus went back to Capernaum, and the news spread that he was at home. So many people came together, and there was no room left, not even out in front of the door. Jesus was preaching the message to them when four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man to Jesus. Because of the crowd, however, they could not get the man to him. So they made a hole in the roof right above the place where Jesus was. When they had made an opening, they let the man down, lying on his mat. Seeing how much faith that they had, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Some teachers of the law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "How does he dare to speak like this? This is blasphemy. Only God is the one who can forgive sins." At once, Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he said to them, "Why do you think such things? Is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk'? But I will prove to you then that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." While they all watched, the man got up, picked up his mat, and hurried away. They were all completely amazed and praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen.
We have a couple quotes about an issue that within our community and the world that seems to be predominant. This is from Marjorie Thompson from a book called Soul Fest. She writes this: "There is a hunger abroad in our time, haunting lives, hearts, like an empty stomach aching beneath the sleek coat of a seemingly well-fed culture. It reveals that something is missing from the diet of our rational, secular, and affluent culture." And then Joseph Small, who is a Presbyterian minister and has served in our denomination and writing many things, also wrote this: "There is no shortage of restaurants offering a fill for our emptiness. From the fast food of New Age crystals and pyramids to five-star cuisine of ancient Asian religions, the menus are many and varied. Is the church just one more cafe on Restaurant Row?" I think these two quotes sum up an issue that all of us have seen even in our lives, but also within our culture, that there is a hunger that isn't satisfied by things, it isn't satisfied by success, it isn't satisfied by how much money you made or how well you've done in your life. But there is a spiritual hunger. And we go to place to place, event to event. Small says, we go to restaurant, seeing if we can get filled up. And for a lot of people, the church just becomes one of those places. One of those places where maybe I'll try this place out and see what they serve. See what I can get from that. And yet, so many people walk away still hungry. One of the beauties about us coming to church is that if we come, or not one of the beauties, one of the struggles is if we come as consumers to a store, a consumer to a restaurant, to this place, we are going to leave disappointed. Because God invites us to come to this place to experience real relationship with God and with each other. We are are called to come here trusting that God will feed our deepest hungers. Help us with our deepest questions. Wrestle with us at our deepest disappointments. That's one of the great purposes of this time, this place that we have, that we call church. That we come together, one another, all from very different backgrounds, all from very different struggles and disappointments. And not only are we reminded of our relationship with God, but also the strength and the beauty that God has given to us from each other. Now, we have to remember, and one of the things that we often, and I do the same thing, get confused, is when we call this place church, we're not talking about the building. We're not talking about the Barnett Center building. We're not talking about this place of wood and glass and metal. We're talking about this place here, you and I. We are the church. But you know, at the same time, we have to understand too that there is something about this place of wood and glass. There is something about where we are. You might want to call it sacred. We call this the sanctuary. But it is a place where we have come over and over again. Places where we have learned the lessons about who we are to be. It is a place where we have struggled about who we ought to be. It is a place where we have been comforted, and it's also been a place where we have struggled. And so there is this sense that this place, though is not the church, is sacred because the church gathers here and shares our lives together. You know, we're all familiar with those important places in our lives. For many of us, it's our childhood homes that we hold dear because, not because of the architecture, not because of the beauty of the area, but because of all the things that we had gained from that experience. Many of you know that my family sold my childhood home several years ago. And one day when I was visiting my mother, we took her out for ice cream. And after our ice cream, she just kind of looked at me and says, "I want to drive past the house." Now, you know, my mom is staying at an assisted care place, and she doesn't like it there. And I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to do this." Not so much for my mom. I don't want to drive past my house because somebody else is living there. And as we pulled up by it, we stopped, and it was hard. It was hard for my mom to stand there and look at a place that she has lived in all of her adult life, and probably the best parts of her life happened in that place. And it was hard for me, too. Because there's a sacredness there. Not because, again, because it was a wonderful house built in 1910 that they built backwards. It's facing a swamp instead of facing the road because there was a trolley car system there. And it was a weird house. Not because of anything about that building, but because, and not just of the memories, but because of the lessons learned and the relationships that were a part in there. This place, I hope and pray, is also that place. A place that we call home because of what God has brought together as a community of people. Another great author, Anne Lamott, tells this story, and I don't know if it's true, but it's a good story. It's about this little girl who decided to run away from home, and she got lost, and the police found her, and so they began to talk to her a little bit, and she had gotten pretty far from home, and could not tell them her address, you know, and she described her house, you know, and it was pretty blasé because there was nothing really unique about it, so they could not figure out how to get this girl home. So they put her in the police car and they said, "All right, we're going to drive around the community. If you see your house, tell us and we'll stop." And as they're driving by, she goes by her church and she says, "Stop, That's my church. I know how to get home from there. What a powerful statement to see the place where you went and go to church, go to worship, go to the community of faith, and know how to now to get home. This is what this time, this place is about. It's not, as we talked about last week, not just a time for us to worship God and lift up our praises to God, but it also is a place in which we call ourselves brothers and sisters. We become and are a family and continue to become a family. Our story today is kind of like that. It's kind of about a community. You know, Jesus is teaching, and he's drawing these huge crowds. He comes to somebody's house, and if you've ever seen a Middle Eastern home, particularly in Israel, back in those days, they weren't very big, maybe just a room. And so the place is packed. People are standing outside listening to Jesus teach. And there's this guy who is unable to move. We don't know exactly what was his problem. We don't know how long, you know, he'd been paralyzed, I guess, most of his life, if not all his life. And his friends, his brothers, if you will, decide, let's take him to Jesus. And so they grab him and they drag him over to Jesus, and they can't get in because there's too many people there. And so they go to this extreme of climbing on top of the roof, ripping the roof apart, and then lowering him down. And I love it. They didn't just lower this guy anywhere in this room. They lowered him right in front of Jesus. I mean, they must have did some figuring out here. Like, okay, right here, this is a good spot. And they lower him in front of Jesus. And Jesus does two things. The first thing is he looks at the guy and says, "Your sins are forgiven." I don't know about you, but if I was paralyzed and just dropped before this guy, inspecting a healing, my first words would be, I didn't come for forgiveness. I came for healing. But Christ knew that this guy needed healing. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. And so he forgave him and then also said, take up your mat and go home. Now, in that powerful story is Jesus seeing and reminding us that there is that spiritual hunger in our lives as well as that physical need to be healed. But also, there is that community of people, friends, brothers and sisters, who may at one time have to carry us, dragging our heels, to the places that we need to go. And that's our job. That's our job as a community. And, you know, and we have been blessed by people who, you know, have done that in many different ways. You know, we've all told stories about Joe and Vera, of Charlie, of Iris, of Margaret and Aileen. And the list can go on and on. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I didn't use any last names. Because 90% of you knew who I was talking about. Kind of like the Elvis of our community, huh? Because these people were people who did things for this community, whether it was physical or whether it was spiritual, and whether it was both. They fed us real food and spiritual food. They supported us. Now, the question, of course, is, will people know you by only your first name in this place? Will we, as a community, continue on to support one another in our relationship with each other and also in our relationship with God? Because this learning, this growing, this community is not something that is just by itself, but it is something that is, first off, motivated by Christ. That's our hunger. That's our desire to know and to be like Christ more and more. but also it is a desire and calling for each of us to care and support one another in Jesus Christ, to reach out in that love, in those gestures, in that support. Because we all struggle. We all have our disappointments. We all have our failures. We all have a need that makes us feel like we're paralyzed. And sometimes we just need some folks to help us carry us before the presence of God. So it's my prayer that all of us will be people that will be known just by our first names, that we will be roof removers, bringing one another to this community and supporting one another. For that's what Christ has called us to be and to do. Let us pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for this community. This community that worships together. This community that continues to work together. This community that serves one another. This community that listens and supports and prays for each other. We thank you, Lord, that through your wisdom, you called us together, imperfect, people who fail, people who make mistakes, but through your Spirit, through your grace, you have called us to be the body of Christ, to be your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the support, the nurture, and the shelter that we receive here, so that we could continue to be your people in this world. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And would you stand with me and let's affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.